30 and Nerdy Podcast is a Studio 66 production brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery. Founded in 2017, Tennessee Legend Distillery has become one of the premier stops in Tennessee for crafted spirits. Here, we won't blow that old smoke in your eyes or herd you like cattle just to make a buck. At Tennessee Legend Distillery, we want you to feel at home and treated like a legend. Because here, you are one. Whether it be our Tennessee Wild Man Vodka, our number one selling salted caramel whiskey, our 120 proof Hammershine, the King Snake Bourbon Whiskey, or any of our other spirits, we promise that there is something here for you. We are also your stop for the line of Assassin's Creed products with our partnerships with Ubisoft and Anthem Spirits. You can get the AC-15 Bourbon Whiskey, the Valhalla Vodka, our Edward Kenway Spiced Rum, and a lot more on the horizon for 2024 from Ubisoft, Anthem Spirits, and Tennessee Legend Distillery. Even if you aren't in driving distance, go to TennesseeLegend.com to see how you can get our spirits and merchandise shipped to you. So what are you waiting for? Come walk among legends at Tennessee Legend Distillery. What's up, nerds and nerdettes? Welcome back to another episode of the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. I'm your host, the Duke of Nerds, the sweet tea of the nerdy South, Tyler Mack, joined by the co-host, the juicy one, the lawyer of 30 and Nerdy Podcast, Mr. Stephen A. Burrows himself.
No good grief.
He's freshly squeezed. Dr. Davis, what's up, Josh?
So, Tyler,
What
do you want to talk about?
What do I want to talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about.
We do.
First off, how was spring break?
Oh, lovely. Just wonderful.
Did great. Pretty good weather most of the week.
Yes. Too. Yeah. I really didn't do a whole lot, which I think is what I needed.
That's what you're supposed to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. I didn't go anywhere. I did go see Avenged Sevenfold on
Thursday. I saw that.
Yeah. I have been known to enjoy a nice little heavy metal composition from time to time, and I'm actually a big fan of Avenged Sevenfold. So it's probably my fifth or sixth time seeing them. Great show, as always. And that was it, really. Just relaxed.
Good. That's what you're supposed to do on spring break.
Well, I try.
Well, good. Good. But you've been back a couple of days. Spring break was over. It is now currently Wednesday the 3rd as we're recording. So you've been back to work for a few days, back to rehearsals and stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Shows coming along. You open like, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks tomorrow?
15 days away, yes.
15 days. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're doing headshots tomorrow and a little bit of set work and whatnot. We've got all the costumes ready. Kids are mostly off book. It's coming along. They're doing a great job. So I think it's going to be a really cute little show.
Good.
Attack of the Killer Man from the Sun.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing it. As for my workplace, let's do the TLD side of things for the Studio 66. We recently had a big monster truck event. Part of the Bigfoot family of monster trucks. If you follow monster trucks, great. The last time I dealt with monster trucks, I was in middle school watching before it would come on Saturday mornings before ECW would come on. That's the last time I had anything inkling with monster trucks. So I don't really know much about the world of monster trucks.
But so you've never been to like a live
monster
truck show? Okay, I've been to one of those when I was a kid. Really? Yeah.
Is it intriguing?
Yeah, it was cool. It was loud. But the thing I remember the most about it wasn't even anything about a monster truck. Like midway through the show, they had this woman come out and like get in a box that they blew up or something. it blew up a box with dynamite with her in it or something like that. Wow. And then she was okay. Some kind of magic trick or something. Mm. I was like, what does this have to do with monster trucks? But I was terrified that this woman was going to get like exploded in front of me and I was going to be traumatized for life, but didn't happen like that.
Oh, cool.
Luckily.
Which kicked off our newest spirit. We had two new spirits drop pretty close to each other. We had this one, the High Roller.
High Roller.
Which is a mix of 2 to 3 year old bourbon whiskey. Very similar to our King Snake, but it is between 2 and 3 years old, kind of mashed together. A little more caramel and vanilla forward. And is 100 proof as opposed to 90. It is a little more stout. Stings the nostrils a little more. But it is pretty good. And the newest one is in celebration of the 20th anniversary of Far Cry, the game's Far Cry.
Yeah.
We have a new spiced rum coming out in celebration of 20 years of Far Cry. Be on the lookout for that. Follow Tennessee Legend Distillery's social media as well as Anthem Spirits social media.
Is there a date for that?
Find all that. I do not know about the spiced rum. I do know that they are doing pre-sales on it right now at Ubisoft as well as lovescotch.com.
The thing about these new products and everything, like even if you're not a drinker or whatever, but if you're a fan of games and just cool looking stuff, these bottles are really beautiful and cool. Like if you go back and look at any of the Assassin's Creed line of products that happened with Tennessee Legend and Anthem Studios, they had the Valhalla vodka that came in this nice black bottle. There was only like 2,000 of them. Collector's edition came with
and I think there's only like 100 left in existence.
They had the Edward Kenway spiced rum, which has like the burned flag in the background of the bottle, I believe. That's really cool. And then the, of course, the Traniversary edition of the Assassin's Creed bourbon, celebrating the 15-year anniversary of the first game, right? Yeah. So that's a cool looking little square bottle. And on the bottle, there's this cool label of like an assassin. It's got like a sort of a hint of gold to it.
Yeah.
And also all of the playable characters from all of the games through all the lore of Assassin's Creed are sort of in the background. Yeah. So they're really, really cool bottles. And I expect that this Far Cry one will be no exception. So really check this stuff out. And it's a great gift for someone in your life who maybe they are a drinker. Maybe they do like to partake a little bit or, you know, they just like to, like we said, collect cool stuff. You got to check it out.
Absolutely. And the best way to find out all that stuff is to follow Tennessee Legend Distillery on Instagram and Facebook and stay up to date on all that stuff. I can say that there is a little bit of exclusive news you're getting to hear here.
Breaking here on 30 and 30.
There will be a white rum coming out before the end of the year in association as well with the Assassin's Creed line. Named after the ship that Edward Kenway, the Jackdaw. We will have a new white rum coming out within the year, the Jackdaw white rum, that will go really great beside your bottle of Edward Kenway spiced rum. They will go great together on your shelf when that comes out. We also will have some fun little new fun stuff, flavored stuff coming out before the end of the year that is specifically TLD stuff. Can't speak to those just yet. There are two flavors floating in the ether of our mad scientist, Mr. Justin, our head distiller. There's probably, before the end of 2024, another 6 to 8 spirits coming out.
Jeez.
In the Tennessee Legend Distillery line of spirits, along also some of them with our partners at Anthem Spirits. So a pretty big year for Tennessee Legend Distillery. And in that, also the Studio 66 multimedia studio that Tennessee Legend Distillery has created. It offers three podcasts. You're currently listening to one of them, 30 and 30 Podcast, as well as the Between Two Barrels podcast, where you learn the ins and outs of the distillery business, where they also highlight famous legends of Tennessee, whether it be Dolly herself or the birthplace of Mountain Dew or even Sasquatch, aka the Tennessee Wildman. You never know what you're going to hear about on that podcast. And also the Cocky Top podcast, which is an SEC football podcast, which goes on during the football season with a highlight of specifically South Carolina and Tennessee, but also the rest of the SEC as well. Those three podcasts, we also offer our custom laser engravings are part of Studio 66. We do custom engravings on barrels and glasses and bottles and all that fun stuff. We have multiple lasers that Chase, our laser operator, gets to play with day in and day out. It's a lot of fun by the looks of it, getting to cut with a laser into glass and wood and
Stuff like that.
A freaking laser beam. We have three of them. One looks like Iron Man. It's pretty cool.
No, we don't have any sharks, though, with laser beams attached to their heads.
No sharks with laser beams to their heads. But we do have some pretty awesome custom work that you can also see.
I've seen it. It's great.
TennesseeLegend.com on their website, as well as their social media. So continue to follow either Tennessee Legend Distillery on Instagram and Facebook, as well as Studio 66 on Instagram and Facebook. And this April lineup for Between Two Barrels podcast, I can say, is all about the Fools of Tennessee. That's right. Famous comedians from the state of Tennessee. We're going to talk about first, we're going to kick off with the history and legend of April Fool's Day, where it began, why we do it, who started this entire day. And then we're going to talk about some of the famous comedians to come out of Tennessee throughout the rest of April, like Annie Potts, a.k.a. Janine Melnitz from Ghostbusters, born in Nashville, Tennessee. Nate Bargatze, who's blown up in the last few years. Ralphie May, rest in peace. And the legendary Leslie Jordan, of course. Going to highlight him as well. Well, shit. What are y'all doing? And a few others that...
You guys have got to do an episode on Jerry the King Lawler.
We will. We will. He's actually in the lineup for 2024. And whenever your schedule is available, we will do an episode about Johnny Cash as well. Whenever you're able to join us.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
We're saving it for when you're off school. So you can just drop in during the day one day.
I got the books. I got the sources. I got everything we need. Okay. I'll be there.
You can do the notes for it then.
I will walk the line. I'll be there.
So, yeah, check out Between Two Barrels podcast. Comes out every Thursday sometime after lunch before quitting time. So you'll have something to listen to on your ride home.
Quitting time.
Mm-hmm. So we've got Fanboy Expo coming up in a few months.
Oh, we sure do.
Our dear friends at Fanboy Expo are going to have us back in July. A lot of cool things are going to be happening. I actually have an email to send out to Joanna to start the ball rolling on some of our ideas in the next few weeks. So a lot more will be coming out over the next few weeks, but just to take a look at some of this lineup, we've got Danny Trejo, Machete himself,
Michael Rooker,
who, gosh, I would love to meet him. I also really want to meet Peter Cullen and get him to say, "You're listening to 30 Nerdy Podcast. Autobots, roll out."
Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Or he could say something like, "Nerds, nerd out."
Yeah. Or, I mean, he's also the original voice to Eeyore, so he could do something for us like that.
You could be listening to something else, but you're listening to us. That's real special.
We got Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, going to be there. Be really cool to meet him. The lovely Doug Jones, very kind individual. Oh,
guys, I every time we bring him up, okay, I just got to say again, the loveliest, sweetest man. He will just fill you with the warm fuzzies and you will love meeting him. It will be such a great experience. Go meet Doug Jones. He's wonderful. And he's a very, very talented man. And he's probably been in a lot of things you've seen and you didn't realize it was him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Hocus Pocus, The Shape of Water. I think he did Hellboy.
Fantastic Four 2.
And I was just now thinking about the fact that he was the big, tall, skinny clown in Batman Returns.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
He was also the laser-eyed bad guy in season one of The Flash or season two, one of those. Yeah. The body, physical body of the Silver Surfer.
Yes, yes. I have a signed picture of the Silver Surfer that he's
in Hellboy. You would actually be surprised. He is, even if the voice is different, he is the physical being of a lot of characters mm-hmm. that you probably never knew about. That it was him wearing the mocap or the suit or whatever, just being voiced by someone different.
Yep.
Also, we had a big reunion with the 90s live action TMNT movies. Some of the cast and crew of that are going to do a panel, as well as...
And both Aprils will be there.
Both Aprils, yes.
Yeah.
One of the Aprils I am a huge fan of because she was also in the show The 100. I thoroughly enjoy that show.
That's the second.
The second April. Yes.
The first April was in Halloween Town.
Yes, she was. She was Marnie's mom in Halloween yes. Town. Yes. It'd be cool. And they've still got some more announcements to come. The heavyweights are going to be announced soon. And there's some pretty magical names. And, you know, you don't want to sit or rest in peace about any of this. You're going to want to pay attention and follow Fanboy Expo very closely via social media. Some just magical world of names are going to be announced soon, and you should absolutely follow them and be ready for those announcements.
It's going to be great, guys. Also, got to say, the Wonder Years reunion.
Yes. My sister-in-law is very excited about the Wonder Years reunion.
Yo, look, I do want to meet Danica.
I do want to meet yeah. Danica because she's Winnie Cooper. Yeah, I didn't watch Wonder Years as much as I watched Happy Days. Or I was more of the other Savage brother with Boy Meets World than I was with this yeah. Savage and Wonder Years. But I did love Danica McKellar, and she went on to voice Miss Martian and Young Justice. So I'm a huge fan of her voice acting work.
She also voiced Sue Storm in the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game.
She did.
I'm a
very big fan of her voice acting career.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk to her about that if we get an opportunity, which would be really awesome.
Samoa Joe, Eric Bischoff. We've got Ray Park. Darth Maul is going to be there. John mm-hmm. Lovitz, famous comedian. Guys, just
acting.
So Giancarlo Esposito.
You man. Have something I want.
It's really going to be a great.
It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a really great year. And they have the entire building this year to make up for last year's issues that they experienced. You know, they're growing, and
yeah.
it's a great problem to have. So yeah. we are going to have the entirety of the building all weekend. So that opens up an entire other floor of events. And I have it on good authority that you're going to be wanting to be involved with some of those events.
Yeah. And you could be.
You could be. You never know.
Perhaps.
You never know. But by request from the Juicy One, we are bringing back a segment. It is Josh's favorite segment. And it is called...
What you watching?
That's right. What you watching, Juice?
Tyler, something has happened. I have evolved, I think, to my next level of nerd. For years now. Actually, probably as long as you and I have been friends, we've sort of talked about the fact that we're not really anime guys. We just don't get it. We don't get it, you know? You actually have had more experience with it than I, because you were a fan of Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
Tal, I've never watched an episode of Dragon Ball Z in my life.
Oof.
Yeah, never. Not once. So I've missed out on that.
You had to work hard at not seeing Dragon Ball Z.
Because
it was just so ingrained. Like, it was all over Toonami.
I missed it, man. I don't know. I missed it. I knew what it was, but like, whatever. And like, I saw Pokemon and stuff like that, yeah. but I was never really like a Pokemon fan. No. It was more of like, it's on while I'm on playing on my computer, and I
didn't get cable,
so
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've always said we're not anime guys, and then we go to the conventions and we do the cosplay shows, and we can't pronounce a lot of the names. That's still not going to change for me, probably. But Tyler, I want you to know, I said over spring break, I'm going to, in my time off, I'm going to try something new. And at the last Fanboy that that we had the privilege of working the cosplay contest again, we sort of just polled the crowd. We're not anime guys. Where should we start? What should we do? Well, they gave us like a top three. And one of those top three, I believe, was Attack on Titan.
It was.
Tyler, I have watched the entire first season of Attack on Titan. The whole first season. I burned it down, actually. I sort of loved it.
Okay.
That, you know, there's things about it that still, you know, don't care for this. I have a hard time still differentiating some of the characters. You know, there's only so many different hairstyles that they have that I can keep up with which one's which.
Yeah.
And I want to be careful how I say this, because we are fortunate enough and privileged enough to get the opportunity to interact and work with a lot of people who do voiceover work and stuff like that. Yes. But I don't necessarily enjoy the dubbed over voice acting in a lot of the anime shows that I've seen.
Okay.
I just don't care for the acting, and I don't mean that to be like, you know, anything against the actors, which I don't know how else you could take it, but I think maybe it's just the style that they have to do to match the style and the medium, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so my good friend David, who is slightly an anime guy, he said, no, don't watch it with the dubbed over. You need to watch the subtitle versions, which I didn't even know that was a thing.
So the actual
Asian yes,
language.
Watching the actual Japanese version with the Japanese voiceover actors and actresses reading the subtitles. Okay. Because I think that there's some sort of a weird... When you try to translate the Japanese to the English, it maybe doesn't translate the same. So
yeah, some things don't translate.
Some of the wording is, because on Attack on Titan, I went back and forth. Like when I couldn't really, really like focus 100% of attention on the screen, but I still wanted to like keep going, I would play it with the dubbed over so I could hear it in English. But when I could really focus on it, I did it with the Japanese. And I enjoyed that so much better. And I would notice that, like, when it would replay something that happened in a previous episode and I'd watched it dubbed or whatever, whichever way, it was different than what I had read on the subtitle. You know what I mean? So some of that stuff doesn't come across exactly the same way. And I think that I felt more connected to the characters and to the story when it was in the subtitle version. Does that make sense?
It does.
And so I watched that whole first season of Attack on Titan, really enjoyed it. There's three more seasons. I think probably I will give it a chance. However, David got me into another one he suggested to me. We watched a couple episodes together, and it's called Demon Slayer.
I've heard a lot about this one. Logan loved this one.
This one is on Netflix, and it's a lot more... recent than Attack on Titan. But I've watched that one only with the Japanese. And bro, like just from the first and second episodes, I was so attached to this main character.
Oh, good.
And I was so invested in his story. And it's very much like just the typical hero's journey. Like I was sitting there telling David, oh, this is probably going to happen. And this is going to happen. And of course it did. Like he's got to get the weapon and he's got to get the mentor. And he's got to have the sacrifice and then yada, yada. But it's a great show. The animation is beautiful. The story is excellent. I love a good villain. And this show has an array of excellent villains, drama. It's great. So, dude, I'm throwing the challenge out to you. I I'm going to recommend challenge
Demon Slayer
you to do maybe like 2-3 episodes of Demon Slayer. Try it with the subtitles and read the subtitles and hear the Japanese. Just, I don't know, even though I can't understand what they're saying, the emotion and the performance just feels a lot more real to me.
Well, when I was watching Dragon Ball Z a lot in middle school and high school, I mean, I would watch it when it was on Toonami because I had the ability to watch it. But if I was buying a VHS or DVD set, I was buying the Japanese.
Yeah.
For Dragon Ball Z. Because I think it's just better. The original voice actors. It's the original dubbing. So their mouths move better with the Japanese because that's how it was originally written.
And it's going to be more closely aligned to the vision of the director or, you know, the creator of the show. So
it was created with Japanese in mind, not American.
Exactly.
So I watched most of my Z and GT in Japanese with subtitles.
So, like, again, I don't mean at all to like insult the wonderful
American voice artists. Actors. Yeah.
I don't mean it that way. I just found that I just enjoyed it and got so much more out of it with the original. And I think, you know, that's probably the case for a lot of people. So, I'm becoming a anime guy adjacent.
Okay.
I've got, you know, it's not going to be like, I'm not going to be wearing the merch or buying the sets or buying the toys or anything like that. I don't think that I'm to that point, but I'm really enjoying it. And there's a couple others that I've got my eye on that, you know, I'm sort of excited about checking it out. And Dragon Ball Z is one of them. It's kind of like Supernatural in the sense that it's a huge undertaking, but that one I feel like I've got experience because so many guys our age are just really into that. So I think I've missed out on that. So I'm going to give that a go. But
yeah, I'm interested to see who your favorite characters are.
And dude, I got to tell you also, like, just from, you know, getting invested in these two different shows, I already like recognized tons of the cosplay we've seen that we didn't know what it was.
Oh, really?
Like, for example, you know, like sometimes we see it's the girl. I think she's usually got a kimono and she's got like a thing in her mouth that looks like a tube in her mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? Dude, that's one of the main characters from Demon Slayer.
Huh.
She's like a very central part of the story. Her name is Nezuko. Nezuko.
Okay.
Or it looks like Nezuko, but since I've been watching in Japanese, I hear him in my head saying Nezuko. So So I was like, oh, I get it. I know that reference. So I'm telling you what, this summer when Fanboy rolls around and these people walk across that stage, I mean, if they are from two to three different anime series, I'm gonna know all about that.
Well, good. Good. Well, I
never thought this would happen.
I have just been burning down some different things. Maddie has been going through some stuff health wise, so I've had a past few days off with her.
Love you, Maddie.
And we have just been burning down some stuff together. One of the things being the Percy Jackson series, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Way more book accurate, which I love. Right. The books were so good. I love the books. I love Greek mythology. Edge is fantastic in it as Ares. The casting's great. So much better than the movies. The writing's great. The characters are great. Even though he's in one scene, Lance Reddick, rest in peace, is Zeus. I love that man's voice. Also, catching up on the Monster franchise, I was behind by like three movies. I had only seen like Kong Skull Island and the first Godzilla with Cranston in it, where he died like 25 minutes into the movie. You're just like, what the fuck? Bryan Cranston? You just kill off Bryan Cranston? What the hell?
Yeah.
So I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters with Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla Kong today. Yeah. So I'm ready to go to the theaters and see a kaiju movie for the first time in forever. The last kaiju movie I saw in theaters was Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Hey, if it's still showing and you go soon, let me know and I'll go with you because I'm caught up. Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Awesome.
No, there was one that came out, Godzilla Minus One. That's, I guess that's a different franchise.
It's a different thing.
Universe.
Different.
I hear great things about that. I've heard that one was in Japanese.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I watched them as a kid, like in middle school and high school. My friend Jonathan Fry had like all the VHSs to Godzilla. And I'm talking about the old 50s Godzilla. Like, you had to watch it with subtitles. It was, the English dub was terrible. So you watched it in Japanese with English subtitles. Old Godzilla, the way they used to film it, you know, it's a big set. It's a guy in a suit, you know, and fighting Ghirida and Mothra and all those old kaiju movies. I used to watch them a lot, but I did not after Peter Jackson's King Kong, which I actually saw in theaters in high school with Becky.
I saw it in theaters too.
It was 3 hours long. It was too modern for me. And I was just like,
It was too long. In typical Peter Jackson fashion, it was too long. And the bug scene, man.
When they bit Gollum's head off? No, thank you.
No. That whole scene.
Nah, I ain't got time for that. That's just not for me.
No.
So I was like anti-kaiju movies for a while because I was like, they ruined them. But I got to say, I like them. I like them pretty good. And, of course, last night we cried our way through the Bray Wyatt documentary. Man. Oh,
dude, I watched it too. Just what a heartbreaking situation the whole thing is.
Absolutely.
I mean, for everybody involved.
Soon. Taken too soon. One of the most brilliant minds in the business. A year and a half older than us. Just a brilliant creator and artist. Yeah. Like we will probably will never see for another generation. He changed the game in his small time with us on this earth.
Man, when it got to the part where, you know, he got so sick and his unfortunate passing did happen, everyone was retelling it. How heartbreaking, man. I was all emotional too watching that. Especially the stuff when they had his brother, Bo Dallas on there. Taylor Rotunda.
Taylor.
You could tell how much, obviously it's his brother and he loved him, but man, he really loved his brother. Like, I believe it when he said that was my hero.
Yeah.
And it's still very fresh for him, you can tell.
Yeah.
It's still very, like, he's still processing that. It seems
and
like.
At the end, the thing they dropped, kind of like, they're letting him continue the legacy.
The internet has been filled with that. So I guess we're going to get Uncle Howdy sometime this year.
Which I think is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That he gets to continue that maybe, dream of theirs.
Maybe even at WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe weekend. He shows up.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
I would love it.
A lot to recommend there, but I would imagine the other thing that everyone is watching when you ask what you're watching that we're going to discuss a little bit is the newest episodes of X-Men 97. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Fire Made Flesh. I asked a question to you in the last episode. You know, where do we go from here? And you were like, I think Mr. Sinister, man. Boom.
Yeah.
Here he is. Drops in this episode. Mr. Sinister.
And we have no idea, like, which gene is really which.
Yeah.
Which one's the clone? Which one married Cyclops? Which one was the Phoenix? We don't know.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that.
I do too. We got a nice little story of the Goblin Queen's slash aka Madeline Pryor's debut.
Yeah.
There's been a clone. We don't know which one, as you said. When they were talking about Mr. Sinister, even Morph kind of transformed into old Morph with the dark circles under his eyes that we remember from X-Men 95.
Yeah, it said Mr. Sinister can take away people's willpower. I should know.
Yeah. Magneto got effed up by Goblin Queen pretty bad.
Yeah, that's right.
It is it's weird. It's still taking some getting used to have him as a good guy and kind of leading the X-Men. But I'm still liking it.
Yeah,
especially
not to skip ahead here, but like say, oh, it's weird for Magneto to be fighting alongside the X-Men. In the most recent episode, episode 4, he's like hanging out in the kitchen with everybody, like it's just a normal day. And I was thinking the same thing, like
coffee with them.
I understand what's happening here, and I think that Magneto, as of right now, can be trusted. But how weird is this? Like things you thought you'd never see. I'm just casually having toast with Cyclops, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
We got to Madeline Pryor and Forge have now entered the chat, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the most recent one, Motendo, the return of Mojo, one of the freakiest, wildest villains in X-Men lore. Creeps you out, especially the fact that he lost weight because, you know, from the last time the X-Men beat him, he's had no connection to the outside world, or unable to wire into people as he used to. But he quote unquote evolved into a video game, a Motendo. It was a really cool premise, man. It made me want to play an old arcade game. Like the old TMNT games that you would play at pizza places.
Yep.
Or X-Men versus Marvel versus Capcom and stuff like that.
Oh, those games were so hard.
Yes, they were.
Dude, I had, man, you just hit me with such a flashback.
Memory unlocked.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, every week we got like a weekly report card, mm-hmm. whatever. And if I had a good report card, I could stop at the Maynardville pool hall and arcade on the way home from school, walk in this place, smoky, you know, the manager's a drunk and like this kid's walking in with his quarters ready to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he was like drunk singing the theme song while I'm playing it. I'm like, God. But yeah, every Friday I'd stop and play that game. So yeah, memory unlocked.
Yeah,
but yeah, it made me think about that too.
It was cool how they were like hitting all the old, like the first episode she was in the street where the Sentinel attacked her in the very first episode of X-Men in the original.
Yeah,
that was a level, and Savage Island was a level, and Genosha was a level, and it was really cool. And I also thought it was really funny how Roberto was just kind of thrown around and beaten up in each level like he was some NPC or something.
This poor guy's having a terrible time.
Having a terrible time. But I also thought it was
I hate this place.
It was a great episode, you know, highlighting Jubilee, kind of reminding us that she's an important part of the X-Men.
Her 18th birthday.
Yeah. She was 16 when we first started X-Men, the animated series. Flash forward to 2024, she's finally turning 18.
It's like Stewie, who's been 1 year old since 1997.
Eternal baby. And then, of course, technically, Motendo was a two-parter with Life and Death Part 1. So it was like split into two stories. It was a Jubilee story and a Storm story. And I like how they're featuring Storm in story still. She didn't just lose her powers and go away. She's still a part of the X-Men. Mm-hmm. I still think that we get her powers back.
I think so.
I'm excited to see where else Forge fits into this. And I loved the glimpse of the old X-Force or X-Men team that had Quicksilver in the picture.
I need to go back and watch it again. I mean, my kid was like talking to me during it, so I didn't get to focus really well. But
when
I
they
did
flash
notice
on it, push pause and see if you can recognize any of those.
Well, what they ought to have done is put Deadpool in it, because if it's X-Force, that's Deadpool, right? So
It's supposed to be, and it's probably not X-Force. It was just a very old.
Let me see if I can find a
X-Men Google. Picture on Forge's wall. If you type that in, I guarantee you'll be able to see it.
X-Men 97 Forge picture.
The guy in the back kind of looks like Juggernaut before he became Juggernaut.
I can't find it.
It's weird. It's definitely weird. And I also liked the little Easter egg to her claustrophobia before she got in that machine that he built, which plays back to when in X-Men, the original series, when they were kidnapped on Genosha and trapped in those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Storm has severe claustrophobia.
Yes.
So when she before she walks in, you see her eyes kind of go, oh, God. It's a nice little detail there.
I'm enjoying how the intro is a little different every episode. Are you noticing that? There's like different things every
time. It's evolving.
Yeah.
Each episode.
And I thought that seeing the older version of Jubilee was really cool.
That was cool.
That was awesome.
That was really cool. And we got some more of in the fight, morphing into other old characters that we've seen before to fight.
Did we? I missed that.
He morphed. It was weird because in the Fire Made Flesh, he morphed into one of the characters that works for Mojo before the Mojo episode. Kind of like a little foreshadowing. The multi-armed woman who's like running his tech.
Okay.
But yeah.
Wasn't there like a Colossus reference somewhere?
I think so.
Didn't I see?
I believe so. There was a Colossus reference in the Motendo episode. But it was definitely a good episode since we last spoke. I'm happy with where it's at. I'm thrilled.
That character's name is Spiral.
Spiral. Yes. Spiral.
Okay, picture of Forge's old team.
Yes.
Looks like Polaris. Multiple man. Kind of looks like Havoc. Let's see. Yep, Polaris, Havoc, Strong Guy, Wolf's Bane, and Multiple Man.
Strong Guy. Wow, what a name.
It's X-Factor.
X-Factor.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten what Forge's team was called. X-Factor. I remember Polaris and Multiple Man.
But we've learned here that Forge's design is the...
Forge's design was given to, I'm guessing, Muir Island.
Yeah.
Where they created the collars. So he's trying to, I guess, redeem himself?
I mean, he created the weapon that took away her powers. So that's why she slapped him when he tried to kiss her and flew away. Ran away, rode away.
Which it ends with a cliffhanger of some creature trying to devour her, which I'm guessing is something to do with Sinister.
It's the adversary.
Yeah,
it's,
the adversary.
It's a Forge thing.
It's a Forge thing?
Yeah.
Ah.
He's got like shaman abilities or whatever, and it's like some kind of demon. He causes it to come alive or whatever. He accidentally sets it loose. Yeah.
So I would imagine that this will cause her powers to come back. She will have to defend herself. I would imagine it's the direction we're heading with Storm Story. I do think that I'm guessing Sinister is the big bad of the rest of this series. Mm-hmm. You know, we are 4 episodes in
Yeah, six weeks more to go.
So,
who knows? Like Nathan Summers is going to have to come back again. He took off with Bishop to the future so they could heal this whatever that Mr. Sinister gave him, this disease or whatever.
Some kind of...
So I think there's going to be some sort of time altering thing, or like, you know what would be really cool is if somewhere at the end, like, we see Loki in a cartoon fashion controlling this strand of the timeline.
Oh,
wouldn't that be great?
Hiddleston's Loki in the time tree.
Yeah.
In Yzgramir.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool. But yeah, what are your thoughts, nerds and nerdettes, on X-Men 97 so far? Before we take a break, I got two little things of nerdly news to talk about. One, you will be extremely interested in. Mm-hmm. Juice, April 3rd, early today, was a big day for Disney. Mm-hmm. It's not a new movie or a theme park. It is actually today, as we record, was their 2024 shareholders meeting. As we are recording, as it has been reported, this is when a new board will be voted in. It has apparently turned into an epic battle between current Disney head Bob Iger and would-be board member Nelson Peltz, who hoped to win a seat on the board along with his ally, former Disney CFO Jay Rasulo. Peltz, an activist investor, corporate raider of renown, is promising to make big changes to how Disney does business in order to, his words, restore the magic. There has been daily drama reported in the trades and financial papers, as well as message boards, where Disney has lost its way. While others have put their trust in Iger and his team, other big names have stepped up to favor one side over the other, but mostly with Iger. Most recently, Peltz made some statements that raised eyebrows about his ability to help oversee a major movie studio. Some believe that Disney should move more in a direction of augmented reality and away from parks and movies.
Mm-hmm.
However, Disney grandchildren believe in Bob Iger and have spoken in support for him. One of the groups trying to join the board, Blackwell, recently unveiled their plan to bring highly technological upgrades that would completely alter or get rid of many of the longtime favorites in the parks, and more integration of AI into the parks, as well as movies and entertainment. Recently, Chase Bankhead, Jamie Dimon, Star Wars creator George Lucas, and possibly Disney's single biggest shareholder, Lauren Powell Jobs, all released statements supporting Bob Iger. George Lucas writes, "Creating magic is not for amateurs with money. When I sold Lucasfilms just over a decade ago, I was delighted to become a Disney shareholder because of my longtime admiration for its iconic brand and Bob's leadership. When Bob recently returned to the company during a difficult time, I was relieved. No one knows Disney better. I remain a significant shareholder because I have full faith and confidence in the power of Disney and Bob's track record of driving long-term value. I have voted all my shares to our current 12 directors, and I urge the other shareholders to do the same." As our recording today, Disney shareholders shot down activist investor Nelson Peltz's effort to win seats on the board of directors. Investors voted to re-elect all 12 of the company-backed board members, including Bob Iger, ending the most expensive corporate proxy fight in company and U.S. business history. Deuce, your thoughts?
That was a lot of information that you just gave me.
It was.
I think that Bob Iger has done a great job. And then when mm-hmm. he left for that period of time, things were not as good, I believe. And mm-hmm. also that was like, I think that was like right at the COVID time mm-hmm. too. So that is a factor. But I know that there was like a whole thing about things in the parks were changing. And then it was because of the new leadership.
Yeah.
And a lot of people did not enjoy. And I remember we went to Disney one of the times after COVID, and I was like, things are a little different.
One of the changes that this Peltz guy would have, instead of quoting his long roundabout way of saying, if you look up a lot of the articles where he's talked or been interviewed, is he would have taken them into a more old school Disney as opposed to, I use this word because it's basically what he was saying, a less woke Disney. What some of those people trying to get on the board wanted, was to go back to old Disney stories and stuff like that, and less woke Disney. So they would have canceled, you probably would have seen the cancellation of movies with Carol in them, and Miss Marvel, less Black Panther movies, you know, Marvel, the face, if you read a lot of the stuff, the face of Disney would have changed drastically if Bob had lost this vote. Which is great that he won, and it's great that the original 12 board of directors are remaining in their place until the next vote. But what this shows is that there are people with different ideals trying to infiltrate Disney, this massive company, this massive entertainment company. And Lord knows what kind of changes they could have and would have made with this company.
I think that Disney has done a really good job of keeping with the times in all aspects. Evolving.
It's not and a political stance. It's just keeping with the times.
And people have been going to Disney parks for generations, you know, it's like since the 1960s
even
or whenever.
Even with the changes, it's not, they're not suffering.
Well, and there's a difference in upgrading and progressing and like completely changing.
Yes.
Like it said, like a lot of the favorites would be no more. And, you know,
a lot of augmented reality and AI would take over. And I'm all about some of that fun stuff. You know, I would love a cool Ghostbusters augmented reality video game, but I don't want you to tear down the castle and put up a digital castle.
Yeah.
You know, of holograms and drones to make the castle. I want the castle still there.
Yeah, we want the practical stuff.
We want the practical stuff. So it sounds like we dodged a bullet and Bob Iger is still in charge. And things are good in the House of Mouse for now. But I just thought it was an interesting story because, you know, when I found this story, I was like just searching for like, you know, nerd news, you know, news going on in the nerd world. And buried is this story of something Disney's going through. And I was like, dude, this should be talked about more. Like, we need to know this stuff, you know, because this is a big entertainment mecca that's going through this big thing and would affect loads of us if it changed in any form or fashion. So just an interesting story. The other thing I want to talk about is Ghostbusters.
Wow. Go figure.
40 years later, it's safe to say that Sony and one of its most beloved film titles still ain't afraid of no ghosts, Juice. They also appear need not fear curmudgeonly film reviews either, based on their solid performance, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, over the last weekend or so's box office, despite receiving a tepid Rotten Tomatoes aggregate score of 44%. The fourth or fifth installment of the franchise, depending on how you count it, if Paul Feig's 2016 remake is included in your vote. I look at it as an alternate timeline.
I think it counts, though.
Yes, it does.
Maybe
count.
Not. Yeah, I mean, like it's...
Yeah.
I think it's part.
It's just like a timeline, you know. Yeah. Opened above expectations with an estimated $45 million in 3 days. That is nearly identical to 2021 Ghostbusters Afterlife, which opened at $44 million, and the aforementioned 2016 remake, which grossed $46 million in its debut. Given such similarities, probably worth noting that one reason the 2016 reboot was perceived as a financial disappointment and Afterlife was not, is because the former costed a reported $145 million, while Afterlife's price tag was half that. Frozen Empire, meanwhile, reportedly cost $100 million, but at the end of the day, all three seem to be performing in the same ballpark. Despite Ghostbusters gatekeepers and some people's uncalled for rudeness on the movie, Ghostbusters has done well again compared to its initial projections. However, I do believe we are at a crossroads. Where do we go from here? Do we continue this legacy sequel journey? Do we let it alone for another 30 years? Do we expand the universe and have shows and movies with a connected universe like Marvel or Star Wars? Currently, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is sitting at over $112 million at the global box office. Now, we know China and Japan impact that a lot because of their very anti-ghost and demon views. I would imagine it did not release over there, or if it did not do very well. Juice, your thoughts on?
Well, I don't know if the demon thing really holds up for Japan, because I'm watching an anime series called Demon Slayer right now.
That's true.
Look, I want to be devil's advocate here, Tyler. Okay. Forgive me. Star Wars: The Last Jedi did really well in theaters. Mm-hmm. It was a financial success, I'm pretty sure,
despite the fact that a lot of us didn't like it.
It is, you know, considered an insult to a lot of fans out there. So now I've not heard any other negative stuff about it. I'm just saying, but I know that there was some people who were like, eh,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. not nearly as savage and heated as the hate for Last Jedi. But
very true,
you know, it could just be, oh well, we're going because it's Ghostbusters, but maybe they're not as happy. I don't know.
Yeah,
but as we said last time, we enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
and
it's doing successfully, you know, successful compared to their projections.
Well, you said you were gonna see it again. Have you already gone again?
No, not yet.
Sometimes it feels different when you watch it again, like when you mm-hmm. see it a second time. So you especially, I will be interested to hear
mm-hmm.
what's your opinion.
I would like us to go in the direction of Star Wars and Marvel and have these connected shows and movies, because Frozen Empire, you know, Afterlife felt like a Ghostbusters movie. Frozen Empire felt like a show. Like it could have been a series done over.
I see what you mean.
You know, like the multiple team members, the science division, the motorcycle with the sidecar. That's straight out of the animated series from back in the day.
Right.
It feels more of a direction we're going, like the old series, like Big World, you know, because now all these ghosts are loose. It's going to be a lot of ghost busting needing done. So I would not shirk at a series as the next step instead of a movie.
One of the criticisms was that the new heroes can't seem to accomplish anything without the help of the old heroes,
the old guard.
And I mean, you got to have them. I mean, you got to have that.
Yeah. Got to have the nostalgia.
You know, the fan service, you know, absolutely. At least. But I mean, how do you feel about that? Like, should they be as dependent on, and if there's another one?
There's another one. I would think there does need to be a little bit more of a backseat for the old guard. Kind of like there was in the first movie. They were a little too hands-on in the second one. I will agree with that. Too much screen time for them in my mind, seeing as how we should have these new characters. I didn't mind like them coming in as reinforcements, but they were present through most of the movie.
Right.
Where in the first one, they were the reinforcements. The, hey, we can still do this. There's still a need for the Ghostbusters.
So what I'm hearing is it's a fair criticism.
Oh, it's a fair criticism. It just doesn't make me like the movie less.
Right.
As it was for most people.
I agree.
You know, most people, when they have a criticism, it completely affects their grade of the movie. And I'm like, well, I've got criticisms for things movie-wise. like I have a criticism for most Marvel movies. I don't think they're 100% perfect. The only pretty sure the only perfect movie I've ever said was perfect was The Princess Bride.
It's so kind of funny to me.
Criticism, I think you can still be like, but I still give it a B+, not a, it's a 44.
I think it's kind of funny how probably a lot of the same fans who say, oh, well, the old Ghostbusters shouldn't be so involved, were the same ones who were angry that the new Star Wars characters were able to do so much without the old characters.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fans don't make sense, man.
Oh, there wasn't enough of this person or that person from the old ones.
Yeah.
They could have done something. Turn around
and say this and be like, well, if we're going to have new heroes, we don't need the old ones in it so much.
Yeah.
So I don't know where we go from here. I don't know the direction. I know that it's doing above its goals, which is great, which means it's a positive movie and shows that the name Ghostbusters still garners popularity 40 years later, which is great.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
But we are going to take a quick break and step away. When we return, we will be previewing WrestleMania XL, not extra large, 40.
40.
130 Nerdy Podcast returns.
What's up, guys? This is Logan, better known as the Rev of Rents, on yours truly, 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Exciting news coming to you because your boy now owns a business. And that business is Shane's Rib Shack in Georgia, McDonough, Highway 81. And we've got some delicious food. We got ribs. We got wings. We've got tendies. We've got boneless. We got everything you want. You like burgers? We got that too. And I would be very appreciative if you showed me the love that you showed me here, right here, at 30 Nerdy Podcast, and go and find me in Georgia and eat some of that Shane's Shack food. And if you do, always tell them that 30 and Nerdy sent you. And I promise, my word right here, you mention 30 and Nerdy, you get the free sweet tea. That's on me. And that's a promise, because the Reverends never breaks a promise.
What's up, nerds? This is Rich from the Three Fat Nerds Podcast, and you're listening to our Council of Nerds Brethren, the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Of course, when you're done with this awesome podcast, you can check out the Three Fat Nerd Podcast wherever you get great podcasts just by searching Three Fat Nerds. And if you want all your information about what we do over there, you can visit 8122productions.com. Now let's get back to the 30 and Nerdy Podcast.
This is Brock and Arn Anderson. You're listening to the 30 and Nerdy Podcast.
Correct.
Welcome back, nerds and nerdettes. And yet again, here we are, Juice. It is
the nerds are in your city.
That's right, baby. It is.
Juice.
It is WrestleMania time again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As we said, it is WrestleMania time again. We are at a
yes,
penultimate moment, WrestleMania 40, 40 years of WrestleMania.
God, crazy.
Crazy to think.
And we've had this discussion. I'm having deja vu, but we have been together, sat and watched every WrestleMania since 27.
Is that the one we actually went to?
Yes. 26, I was in New York.
Yeah.
But every one of them since then, I think.
Yeah. Because we actually went to 27 in Atlanta.
Yes.
And we've watched. You were in Cali.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Went to so the we one weren't... in Cali that I didn't go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Other than that, every year.
Other than that, every year we have witnessed the spectacle of spectacles, mm-hmm. Showcase of immortals. Every year, And here we are on its 40th anniversary.
It's crazy.
40 years of WrestleMania. Crazy to think. And now it is so big that it takes two nights. An entire weekend of events between local shows and indie shows and NXT and then the big boy WrestleMania. It literally takes over a town all week long. It is now a week-long thing in the wrestling industry leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's just impossible to keep up with everything that's going on WrestleMania week. I mean, dozens and dozens of hours of programming just from the WWE alone, I think.
Because
you got the NXT stuff and you got the, you know, the SmackDown and the Hall of Fame and pre-shows and yada, yada, yada. So it's a lot, but it's, I mean, this is the time of year for wrestling fans.
Absolutely.
The excitement is at an all-time high at this point in the year, every year. Somehow they really do every year make it feel like the biggest WrestleMania of all time. How could it possibly be any bigger? And like, it just keeps, it does feel bigger every year. Because when we had Stone Cold, I think 2 years ago, and I thought, oh, how in the world can this be topped? And then last year we had the epic Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns storyline, the Sami Zayn and KO and the Usos and all that good stuff was going on. Even better show. And now this year, it's just unbelievable.
It is.
Wrestling is hot. Hot right now. Yes, and is. Like, you know, The Rock said it the other day, the final boss, I should say, said the other day, it is cool. Wrestling is cool again.
It is.
And it really is.
The final boss, Bowser himself.
Oh, I'm loving it.
I am too.
This is what I've been wanting for so long.
Yeah.
And here it is.
So let's talk about it. Night one. We have a tag match. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
Totally last minute thrown together match, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Story was just kind of out of nowhere. Like, I don't really care about this match. Not even enough to have a prediction.
Yeah. I would imagine the bad guys win.
I'm thinking bad guys win too. And I'm thinking maybe we're going to go back to Ray and Dom again. Because I think eventually this is going to have to end with a retirement match and Dom retiring Ray at some point. Don't you think that's going to happen? Yeah. I think a lot of people think that.
I think it pretty much has to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm going to go with Santos and Dominic as well.
And I love Santos Escobar. And Dom's doing some great stuff. So I would imagine that it sets up a continuation of LWO versus Phantasma type stuff. But yeah, we'll take the bad guys. We got a tag team match, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane of kind of thrown together. It felt like we knew that Bayley would be fighting Io, and we knew that the others would either be involved or need something to do. And this feels like, I don't know. I'm extremely excited to see this match because they're all six very talented in-ring competitors and storytellers, especially Jade Cargill. I'm excited to see her big mania debut. I think it'll be a fun match. I don't know the story that it's either. I guess technically you could say Mania either ends stories or starts stories.
I think this one's going to be a start.
Yeah.
Obviously it could go a couple of different ways, but I'm seeing like, obviously you don't want Jade Cargill to lose in one of her first big matches. And, you know, the fact that this is a six woman match is in order to protect the fact that Jade's still learning. Like, she's still pretty green. And yeah, she was like the undefeated champion in AEW or whatever, but like, she really, her ring work was not really where it should be for that level and on broad, you know, on television. She just wasn't really there quite yet. So that's why they've really been taking their time with her at the Performance Center. I think, though, that we could see maybe a heel turn here. Maybe Naomi. Because they've got to do something with this. We've had all this Bianca and Naomi backstage, like, bickering and like, oh, no, it's okay. I understand. I got you, you know. But they disagree about taking it to damage control or whatever. I feel like there's got to be something happen. So maybe one of them turns on the other and that causes them to lose. That way it's not, you know, anything to do with Jade.
Be.
I don't know. Not sure. But I feel like, dude, you know, I know I'm broken record about Bianca, and I've been wanting that
heel turn.
But don't you think, like, we gotta evolve her character somehow? We've got to get some new version update of Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy for saying that? Like, well,
no,
I don't think
you're crazy. I mean, you said it for years about Bayley.
We didn't get a lot of change with John Cena, and I've heard the comparison of Bianca as far as like merchandise and, you know, the little kids and all of that stuff. She's like the female version of John Cena as far as that goes.
Might be too scared to turn her heel.
And that would be exactly, but like, it could also be the greatest thing ever. And I think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got to get a new version of Bianca, and even if it's not a heel turn, we got to change something up. Just like smiling and skipping to the ring forever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I
get it.
It's time.
Yeah.
So in my fantasy booking, Bianca turns on the team and causes them to lose.
Okay.
Or possibly even better, Naomi turns and joins the bloodline.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know.
So moving forward, we got a six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. I'm going to start off by saying it's time for these titles to split up. Or.
I don't know that I agree.
I don't know. You've got Balor and Damian Priest, who are the champions, versus...
You've got the little symbol on the notes for champion, and I was like, yeah. Balor and Damian Priest, copyright?
Balor and Damian Priest, champion versus Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, and Ciampa, versus The Miz and R-Truth, versus Kofi and Xavier Woods, versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. It's going to be a fun match. I love a good ladder match, especially with a bunch of people involved. I have been saying for years it was a mistake to get rid of Money in the Bank and make it its own pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I think it was such a draw and so exciting to have the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania as a WrestleMania moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm in full force still today that they need to retcon that pay-per-view and bring back the Money in the Bank to WrestleMania.
I agree. Night one is the men or the women, and then the night two is the other.
Is the other. Yes. Absolutely. I don't know where this one goes. I have had this weird feeling that the Judgment Day is going to turn on someone at this event. Maybe not night one, but I could see Balor and Damian losing this match. Flashed over to night two. Drew or Seth win. Whatever. And he comes down to cash in that briefcase. They ring the bell, making it a triple threat. After the pin, saying this match is now blah blah blah, And then Judgment Day just beats the holy shit out of Damian because he maybe caused them the tag titles. And they leave him in the ring for Drew to just pin again if he wins, or Seth, either one. Or Drew to pin again and Drew join the Judgment Day. I don't know. It just feels like Judgment Day maybe is losing its steam. Maybe needs to end somewhat. Or it needs something new.
I have a different theory.
Okay. Because I really would love to see the Awesome Truth win these titles.
That's kind of what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think R-Truth is going to be the one to climb the ladder because he's got the story that he's had with Judgment Day.
Yeah.
The others, not so much. I mean, New Day, love them, but they're not hot right now. DIY, eh. I think Theory and Waller would be fun, but I don't know that they need it. And then Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, I don't know that that's going to be a thing that lasts.
They need some seasoning if they're going to be a tag team. I don't think they last as a tag team.
So I'm going with either Judgment Day retains somehow or R-Truth climbs the ladder and wins.
Okay.
I think R-Truth needs a WrestleMania moment. So,
yeah, I do too.
He's been really popular on this run. So,
well, he always garners a love from the audience, yeah. No matter what he does.
Yeah.
And no matter what he does it 110%. Whether it's that stupid little Jimmy conspiracy stuff he was doing, the original Awesome Truth run as bad guys, the stuff with Judgment Day, the stuff with the 24/7 title with Tozawa and all that stuff, fun, you know, stupid, but fun.
Yeah.
Didn't love the 24/7 title, hated it.
Yeah.
But if Truth was involved, you knew you were going to get some laughs.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's time, man. You know, put a title on this man, even if it's tag titles. And he's great with Miz. They're both great on the mic. They're fun. They can do some fun stuff. Miz is a hard-ass worker and has had so long without a title. I just think it's time for these two to have a good moment, a victorious moment, and Truth to have a Mania moment.
Yes,
I mean, really, has he in his illustrious career?
Not.
Can you think of a Mania moment for R-Truth?
I can't recall one. That doesn't mean it's not happened.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, WrestleMania is a long show and they have a lot of things that go on. So I can't recall. But I was going to say, I love The Miz, you know, and I always have. But I just don't know that I love him as a good guy.
That's weird. It is.
It just doesn't really work for me.
It is very weird. So, moving forward, we got a singles match. Brother versus brother. Jay versus Jimmy Uso. No stipulations as of right now.
I don't feel like they've done the best job on the build-up for this story. I feel like it was another one that was just sort of random and
we knew it was going to happen for a while. After they split, we were like, okay, it's in the city of brotherly love.
Brotherly love.
These two are going to fight at Mania. But I do feel like they've been kept apart too much.
Apparently, every 15 years, there's been
brother
versus brother match.
The last one was the Hardys.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean,
before that was Brett and Owen.
Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Speaking of the Hardys, I'm seeing rumors that they're going to come back to WWE again.
Allegedly.
You seen that?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they were part of the Wyatt family with Uncle Howdy, Broken Hardy, and Willow.
Yeah.
With the Wyatts.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Thank you. I sent it into an email. I said, Paul, I have a great idea. Mr. Levesque, if I could have a second of your time. I got Jimmy on this. I got the bad guy winning.
I do too. I do too. Yep.
It's only going to build that moment even better for when Main Event Jay gets that extra push to the top.
Yes. And then,
which is why I don't think Jay can own a single title until he conquers his brother.
And eventually they will reunite.
Yeah.
And I think that if they make the story good enough and long enough and epic enough, one day when they do reunite, it will be really, really special.
It will be.
Big moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I could be wrong, and maybe Jimmy decides I'm tired of Roman's bullcrap, and he turns on him at Mania and joins back with Jay. I don't know.
Yeah, could be short. Probably could be short-lived. We don't know. WWE Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther, champion, the Ring General, versus Sami Zayn, El Generico. I don't like it. I love Sami Zayn. Gable should be in this match. I really have been a fan of Gable ending the reign of Gunther.
Yeah. That seemed like the storytelling
they were doing. God, it was so good. The stuff they were doing was so good. And this one just kind of feels like, nah, we'll put Sami Zayn in the match at Mania against him.
What if Damian Priest does not cash in on the world championship match? What if he cashes in on this match? No, but I feel like it's been brought up at some point that it doesn't have to be the world title that he could cash in for. I think that's been said on television. I think maybe I'm making it up. I don't know. Someone please correct me. But what if he cashes in on this, similar to Seth Rollins at 31, making it a triple threat match where he can pin Sammy and not Gunther, but Gunther then loses the title so he can go on to bigger and better things, like possibly, depending on how night two goes, Cody Rhodes.
Hmm.
So that's my fantasy booking, is that Damian cashes in for the IC title and wins
it. The IC. Technically, Gunther doesn't get pinned. He pins Sami Zayn for it instead. Especially if the tag match is before this and he loses those titles. He could be like, I need a title. I've got this briefcase.
I'm tired of this. Yep. I'm going to go show everybody what Judgment Day is all about.
I'm better alone anyways. I'm the archer of infamy, by God. Because I'm a big fan of Damian.
I am too.
High on him. It reminds me so much of Razor.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
He even wears the blood drip stuff that Scott Hall used to wear.
Yeah. I would like that. And then maybe Gunther takes the title off of Rhodes at SummerSlam.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because even
I think that
Cody finishes the story, I don't think he has a year title reign in him.
No. But I think that when Gunther does get the title, I think he probably will have a long reign similar to
his IC title. Yeah. Yeah. Women's World Championship match. Mommy, Rhea Ripley, champion, versus the man, Becky Lynch. I love both these women. I love Rhea. Mm.
I don't really have a solid pick. I think I kind of want to just go with Rhea.
Yeah. I mean, Becky holding the world heavyweight is great, but at the same time, what else does Becky have to do in this business?
Well, they could also make this, they could really make this feud last a lot longer. Because did you see the thing where Rhea was doing like an interview or doing a podcast or something and Becky called in and then she showed up there and like they got in a fight? Did you see that?
Yeah.
So they're really trying to heat up the feud. But I think they could really extend it because both of them are on top, and like they really tried to add the drama to it with the stuff about Rhea bringing up her daughter and Becky getting so furious. So maybe Rhea retains and they extend the feud and it goes till SummerSlam or beyond. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know what we would do with really another Becky Lynch title run. And I feel like it somehow has to end like with the good guy winning somehow because of the stuff with the kid. Like, oh, yeah. You talked about my daughter and now I have to overcome that and win. I don't know. I'm just going to go with Rhea.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Rhea retaining. Now, I'm imagining this is the main event. Stipulation match for night two, title match.
Oh, yeah. You know The Rock's the main event.
The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. The aptly named team, the freaking nightmare. they actually have shirts right now.
I still will not call him Seth freaking Rollins. I will not do it.
I have Rock and
Roman. Only thing about him I don't like.
Because there has to be so much stacked against Cody tomorrow or on night two.
You don't make the threat of bloodline rules without bloodline rules happening.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't bring up a gun without the gun coming into play in a movie or show or something.
Chekhov's gun.
So, I agree. I think the heels will win.
Yeah. I think this is quite possibly going to be a very heel-dominated mania in the long run.
So there will be some moments of, bringing people back up, I think.
Yeah. So, the Hall of Fame. Muhammad Ali, Balani Ali, the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda by Steel TBA. I would imagine it'll be Bo. Liam Ivia by The Rock.
Actually.
Because it's his grandmother. Thunderbolt Patterson by Scott Spears. Bull Nakano by Alundra Blaze, a.k.a. Medusa. And Paul Heyman by allegedly Roman Reigns. I would
the headliner there.
That there were probably plans. I would imagine until everything that went down. Lesnar was a top billing, like would be the only person to induct Paul Heyman. But
I thought Punk would be a good choice.
Would be a good choice too. Or any of the ECW guys.
Any of the Dreamer, ECW guys.
Sabu,
Tommy Dreamer would have been great. Yeah.
Any of them. But allegedly,
Paul Heyman and Sabu, I'm pretty sure, do not have a positive
relationship.
I'm pretty sure.
Do you think there's possibility, there's rumor and innuendo going everywhere about everything at all times, on any Hall of Fame surprises, like after them being inducted, the U.S. Express will induct Bray?
No, I don't think so. They've never done anything like that before. And I think that when he does go in officially, they would advertise it and make it have more of a to-do about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think it'd feature a lot more heavily. So, no, I don't think so. While this is a smaller Hall of Fame class than
it is.
They used to do, but I think that's probably good. Like, it's getting to the point where, God, if you walk down the ramp one time, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So
they can be long too.
Yes.
Last few years, that Hall of Fame was long.
Oh my goodness. Poor Hillbilly Jim.
God, he wouldn't shut up.
I just kept fast forwarding and he was still there. And I fast forwarded like to the highest speed where I thought, I'm going to miss something I want to see. And there's Hillbilly Jim still going. He's probably still there talking in another timeline. He's camped out.
All right. Night two, Philadelphia Street Fight just added Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Occam, and Rezar.
I'm going to give you my fantasy booking. It's not going to happen most likely, but this is what I would love.
Okay.
Final Testament wins because I don't think they've won anything really yet much, mm-hmm. and they need to win.
Yeah, they need an establishment.
I think they will win, and I think Street Profits will turn on Bobby Lashley, finally cementing their heel run. Because they kind of tried it and it didn't really work. Remember?
Yeah.
I think they're like, you know, Bobby, you were supposed to bring us to new heights. You're supposed to help us. You've not done anything for us. If anything, we've regressed because of you.
Yeah.
We're done with you. And then they turn heel finally, hopefully.
And Bianca joins them.
Oh, well, I'd be thrilled. I'd be all about it. Now, that's a t-shirt I'd buy right there. Whatever staple name of the Street Profits and Bianca Belair is heels. Hey, send me the merch. Bill me.
Take my money.
I'll throw it right at you.
Up next, we got the WWE United States Championship match. Logan Paul, the champion, versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. A triple threat match, which means there are no rules.
Right. And they're definitely playing up this idea that like Randy Orton and Kevin Owens kind of don't have beef with each other and they both hate Logan Paul. So they could theoretically just team up on him and get him out of the picture. So I think that potentially they could lay him out and say, okay, now we're going to have a fair match with each other. And then he sneaks in and retains.
Yeah. I think Logan's retaining. I don't like him. I think he's great in the ring. I think he's a great character, but I don't like Logan Paul. Like as a human.
Yeah.
But he's great in the ring.
That's why he's a great heel, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, I don't think that Randy and Kevin really need a U.S. title.
No, I agree. And I feel like it's Logan Paul having it brings plenty of attention and
yes.
Not necessarily prestige to it, but attention and importance and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Logan Paul.
Up next, the WWE Women's Championship match. Io Sky, the champion, versus Bayley. You got to go Bayley.
It's sure. Got to be Bayley.
Story being told. You got to be...
It's got to be Bayley.
Yeah, it was not and I think that great of a champion.
Maybe she will enter her big entrance will be with some version of the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Yeah.
I don't think that she would want to go back to that, but like some sort of a nod to it, maybe just to further cement, like I'm a good guy again, you know? Because she can't very well do the ding dong hello or any of that. She can't go mess with Michael Cole.
No.
But I think.
But she definitely doesn't have long enough hair to be the side pony right now.
Right. So. Yeah. I'm going Bayley. And we got to have some feel. We got to have some feel good moments.
Yeah.
If we're going to have a lot of this heel stuff happening.
Yeah.
Which who knows that it will.
The World Heavyweight Championship match, Seth Rollins champion versus Drew McIntyre.
I hate to tell you.
Drew.
I think it's going to be Drew. Seth Rollins has not been given Drew the full attention and respect that he deserves. He's got his eye on The Rock and Roman. He's so involved with that, he's not even paying any attention to Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Drew is going to win. And I think that Drew and CM Punk will have some sort of little moment afterwards.
So did they decide if he was the ref?
Nope. He's doing commentary as of right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless something changes on SmackDown. Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. He'll get involved somehow.
Yeah, surely.
And then finally, the main event. undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. Champion Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, part deux.
I would love to say that somehow or the other, the Roman Reigns title reign era is going to continue. But I don't think that it's going to be the case. I mean, Roman's already part-time. And it's Cody's time. I think they'd have riots on their hands if Cody lost 2 years in a row.
Yeah, man.
Last year, I think you it got to be so late that you were like, I got to go home. So you left before it ended, and I had to text you and tell you what happened. But I stood there, you know, when things get exciting, I don't sit down. I'm standing up watching. And when it happened, dude, I laughed. I was like, I can't believe they did this, because they made it seem like it was so telegraphed. Like, Cody is going to win. He is going to finish this story.
Yeah.
And he walks out and he gives the belt to the kid in the front row like he always does. I'm like, oh man, look at this baby face. This is going to be it. And he lost. And I don't know. I thought it was funny. And there's videos of people just going crazy in the audience. Like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of videos very similar to the Taker guy as he was.
I do think that Cody will win despite the odds being stacked against him. I think a lot of people have Rock turn on Roman. Rock's going to turn on Roman. Yeah, I think that will happen, because I don't think that Rock is going to end which is probably his final run as a bad guy, you know. He might, because he can always come back in the future and do the, you know, if you smell and Rudy Poo, blah, 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 turn it sideways, all that stuff, and still get the big. You know what's really interesting and amazing about Rock is that in the same segment, he got a Rocky chant and a Rocky sucks chant in the same segment.
He's able to do that.
That's power right there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I think that's one theory. And I just really like the idea of there being like an Avengers Assemble, you know, icons of WrestleMania, good guys, whatever, coming in. And
like, I wholeheartedly expect like John Cena and Stone Cold to help against the Bloodline, like an Avengers moment, like,
yeah,
the glass shatters.
How epic would that be? Be incredible.
It'd be incredible.
So I think no matter what happens, it's going to be a great show. Knock on
wood.
I don't think it's going to disappoint no matter what. I think Cody's going to win. I just think that they can't stretch this out for another year, another WrestleMania.
No, I don't think you can do a third year.
And I don't know that we'll ever get Rock versus Roman. But if he does turn to babyface, that could set it up for them in the future.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Quite possibly.
Well, those are our thoughts. A lot of the same picks.
Yeah. Those are our thoughts, nerds and nerdettes. What are your thoughts? Let us know. 30nerdypod@gmail.com. Hit us up on the hashtag 30nerdypod. Who's your favorite right now? What match are you looking forward to most? And what are your predictions? Let us know. Juice, I got nothing else. Nothing in the tank, my friend. So that's going to be it for us in this episode. Thank you for tuning in. As always, don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, the X, and YouTube as well. So we will catch you on the next episode. Juice, you take her easy.
Same to you. I'll see you at WrestleMania at your house on night one and my house at night two.
Yes, we will. As for you other nerds and nerdettes, stay kind to yourself, stay kind to others, and as always, cheers to you. Doot, doot, doot.
There once were two dudes who met back back in college, nobody loved pop culture more. So they started a podcast to talk all about it, and 30 and Nerdy was born. Oh, 30 and Nerdy was born. You might hear them chat about shows like The Witcher or movies like Lord of the Rings. And if Josh has to choose, he is loyal to Marvel, while Tyler goes more for DC. Yes, Tyler goes more for DC. Now come, one and all, nerd up or shut up, just answer the call to be part of our journey into magical worlds. Join us and cheers to ya, nerds. Join us and cheers to